Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessings today as we come with a humble heart and the minds that seeks after you. May your Holy Spirit bless us and speak through your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We had a good time with Dr. Tink while I was in Myanmar, I still remember. And I was shocked that he broke his leg. But our good memory still remains. I'm not talking about my trip in Myanmar today. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of the faith. From the scriptures we read this morning, comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oftentimes, when I think of our life as a Christian or minister, I am thinking of a movie that I watched about 9 years ago. It was so impressive to me. Not only to me, it was the first movie in Korea that had more than 10 million viewers in Korea only. Imagine we have about 50 million populations. 10 million people watched this movie. So surely it's not only impacting on my life, but somebody else's in Korea too. I tried to find like trailer that I found one in YouTube. I hope we can share a little experience that I had. The reason that this movie impacted so much in my life, it's not about war, but about the brotherhood that featured in this film. It was a story about two brothers who happened to be fight each other because one was with South Korean army and the other was with North Korean army. Another thing that it was so impressive to me is because of the war scene. It was so dramatic that I couldn't really sleep without thinking of that film for many nights. This morning, the passage of scripture we read, and I'm relating of the scripture with the movie. When I'm thinking of seminary and our Christian life, I often think of the spiritual battlefield that our pastors and our ministers, even our seminarians, are living with. Although, because the spiritual battlefield, oftentimes we do not feel it, but when I watch this kind of movie, and I'm thinking how severe is the spiritual battlefield that we live in everyday our life. Apostle Paul assigned his, like a son, Timothy, to a new assignment, a church that is a prosperous, in the prosperous city of Ephesus. And he was not probably very joyous, because he knew how severe is the spiritual battlefield that his Timothy is going to fight against. So with all kinds of prayers and support, worries and anxieties, that Apostle Paul was giving the words, you have to fight the good fight of faith. With this message, I'd like to share what the meaning of the fighting the good fight of the faith that we have to meditate on. The first point I'd like to mention is the contentment. In the first part of the scriptures we read, Apostle Paul was describing about the evil nature of capitalism. Well, maybe some people do not agree with, but when we seek after money that we will be failing in our ministry because we cannot serve the two masters. Well, when we understand the situation of Ephesus, where Apostle Paul gave an assignment to his son brother Timothy, that the Ephesus was so much a city of prosperity, money. But in reaction to that prosperity, Apostle Paul saw a great rising of evil things, worshipping God, idols with money, and people who are so much into making money, and their idol worships are all tied with that prosperity. So Apostle Paul, looking at that context, he might be very much worried about Timothy, that this is the thing that he wanted to emphasize of a brother Timothy giving into a new assignment. Sometimes I have a time of fellowship with some of the pastors and the leaders that I am praying with. When I do intensive discipleship trainings or programs or time fellowship, I begin to feel like how Apostle Paul had felt when he was giving the words to Timothy. Becoming a mentor is like becoming the one who pray with, because I know how hard of the situation that they are going to minister to. I couldn't stop praying or worrying about their situation. And the last fellowship I had, that was the word that I shared with them. You have to contend with what we have. Contentment, godliness with contentment, is great gain. In our ministry and life, we have so much things that we need. For about a month and a half, we are in trouble. Our car broke, then it has an endless repair sessions with different shops. Sometimes we feel really difficult because in a way going somewhere where the public transportation could not reach, like at Faith Academy where my children go, we have to take jeepney, tricycle, and walk about 10 minutes to get to the school. We're kind of struggled. And sometimes we pray, Lord, please give me a car. Not the luxury ones, but the ones that we just walk with. We had a family devotion every night. My youngest, Geumju, always her prayer request is, Lord, please fix our car. I'm so pity on her because her prayer was really genius, coming from heart. But we are learning new things. The life without a car. Sometimes in my life in the Philippines, we lived a life without a car for 3-4 years. We used to take public. When I was studying at University of the Philippines, I had to transfer like 3 times. When I go to UP and coming back, I had another 3 times. I take FX, jeepney, tricycle, jeepney, something like this. We're used to it, but having a car in our life, we forget about our past and we get used to a life with the car. But for the past a month and a half, although we live in a so kind of difficult situations, God is giving us a different lessons. That is contentment. When we begin taking public transportations like jeepney, tricycle, my kids were excited. They see things that they never see in their life. They meet people that they never meet in their whole life. And we praise the Lord. And I think that is the lessons of contentment that Apostle Paul was talking about. Apostle Paul's theology is not a poverty gospel. nor prosperity gospel. If I say it is a theology of contentment, that you contend with whatever God allows. We have seen mission teams going around and trying to raise funds to make your mission trips. I kind of feel your anxiety, your desire to raise more money for your mission trips. But it is not the funds that make your trip possible, but it is our obedience to the word of the Lord and our desire to serve the Lord. And that makes contentment in our life. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 13, Apostle Paul also was emphasizing of the contentment. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. The last verse, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. The ministry of Apostle Paul was miraculous. We can't imagine how he traveled around, not only one, but two and three times in his missionary journey. We know that he didn't have a supporting churches like what we had. We had a missions, world missions. Churches are giving tithes and offerings, missions giving for missionaries. But for him, he did not have any. But his missionary journey was miraculous and amazing. And he confessed that he can do all these things who gives the strength and the power. Why? Because he learned that he could contend whatever that God has allowed or given. Another testimony we had, we recently transferred a house from the hilltop down at the bottom. In Korea, it's from Gangnam to Gangbuk. You know Gangnam story? Gangnam style? So we lived a life in Gangnam style. Then we moved into a lifestyle in Gangbuk style. We had a three-story building house, five rooms, four restrooms, and so much wide yard. And we moved to 9C, where we have only three rooms, and one room is extremely small, and we have only two restrooms. People began worrying about our life. How can you, six of your family, fit into that small room and house? But when we moved, we found out that there are amazing benefits that we never enjoyed when we lived in Unit 14. First, family bonding. Our family now so close. We can call each other very easily before. Ihan, let's eat. Ihan, let's eat. Ihan! How many times I call you, okay? Same thing happens to Mingi. Hey, Mingi! Mingi! But now, small house, we can call each other very easily. We live the same level that everybody can see each other. We begin family worship because of the close proximity of a physical space. Second, we saved a lot of electricity. We struggled with electric bills for the past few years. We're trying to raise it down, but we couldn't because of the size of the house. So I'm pitying I'm pity on somebody who will occupy the unit 14. May the Lord bless him and the wisdom as he try and errors of living in that big house. The life with the contentment in Christian life, I'm learning that it is such a blessing. In this 21st century missions, we have so much struggles and obstacles as you do missions. Because of the children, we cannot go a place where there is no children's education institutions. We need to educate our children. So we go a places where we can educate our children. This is an account of missionaries in this 21st century. We cannot go because our fund is not enough. We had so much funds to raise before we go into. We have family members to take care. We have food to eat. We have so much obstacles in our life. Even in our ministry, I cannot go to that church because the church is too small and they cannot pay even for my children's food. I have four children. There are not many churches who can welcome my family because of so much worries that are not important and essential in Apostle Paul's theology of contentment to become a Christ-like disciples. Like Timothy or Apostle Paul, the passage of Scripture is teaching us that we contend of what God allows us to go. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. The second point that we have is spiritual welfare. Apostle Paul was describing a spiritual battlefield that we have to live with. The spiritual warfare that he articulated: pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These words are so familiar, correct? Where can you find these words? These words we can find the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, we have love, patience, joy, happiness, endurance, perseverance, self-control, and so on and so forth. So Apostle Paul was talking about these spiritual welfare armor, emphasizing the work of the Holy Spirit in Timothy's life and ministry. We have to put the armor of God when we fight of our spiritual battlefield in our ministry. And this time you can relate to the how severe of the spiritual battlefield we will be living in the movie we watched. Can you think of any your experience of your spiritual severe battlefield like what we watched in the beginning of my sermon? Can you think of any spiritual attack that looks like a physical war that we watched in the movie? Again, Apostle Paul giving a new assignment to brother young Timothy, then he was foreseeing of that severe spiritual battlefield that he would fight in his new assignment and ministry. And he was emphasizing that you have to put the armor of God, sanctified by the power of Holy Spirit. When you are sanctified by the power of Holy Spirit, when you have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you can fight and win the battle. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to search on some of the situations the youth and adolescents in the Philippines. Well, it's related to the seminar that is coming. There was a study about young adults, fertility and sexuality study, so-called YAF. That study was initiated by the Health Department of Health, carried out by the University of the Philippines researchers. And they're doing this research every 4 years, and they see the trends of how Filipino youth and adolescents see their sexuality and practices. Because 2013 study is not yet released, I read the research about in 2009 data. The data says 23% of children experience premarital sex, 30% male, 50% female. 20% experienced premarital sex when they are in high school, 13% in college, 3.5% in elementary school. Because of their premarital sex, 10% of all births occur to teenage mothers, the age between 15 to 19 years old. At age of 18, 10% women are already mothers. At age of 20, 25% are mothers. At age of 24, 50% of the mothers already became mothers. And the research also suggested the reasons of that increase, and the data shows it's a rapid increasement from the past. And they're pointing out major reasons. One is that youth and adolescents are becoming far away from the family and the church. Second, their family members, their parents are so busy and they are not in their radar. Third, they are exposed to pornographic media. Well, 4 years ago, the data shows like that. We imagine after 4 years, it will be another shift because we live in an age of media. Now we bring our smartphone that you can connect everywhere as long as you have Wi-Fi, then you can access to everything if you want. Another study, it's a study about high schoolers in Wesleyan University, Philippine High School Department, about pornographic study. 78% of high schoolers said that they already experienced internet pornography. 44% said that they are regularly accessing to the internet pornography. 34% said, I come once a week. And 15% said, I come two or three times a week. 11% said, every day. This is just the one example, kind of severe spiritual battlefield that you and I have to fight with. These are people in the church, and they are vulnerable in this kind of spiritual battle. I also heard that many of these young people are not enjoying the struggle because that they cannot get out of that habit. They're not enjoying anymore, but they cannot stop coming and checking their website because that this is a spiritual warfare. They do not have the armor of God. A few weeks ago, I had a tragic accident. No, I have heard a tragic accident of a youth, adolescent, that I really like and prayed for. She was harassed and sexually violated and now pregnant, unwanted pregnancy. I've been praying for her for 2.5 years. She was one of the few youth that always smiled at me. and give me a hug and call me dad. When we are celebrating of God's presence in our family, we forget that she was fighting in that spiritual severe battlefield. That so many Satans are trying to attack her. I cannot say anything. I even can't pray for her because it's not supposed to be. It shouldn't happen. But this is the world that is happening. Just few walkways from our seminary, and you are assigned to fight the battlefield. God is training you to become His armies, to go out and fight in this spiritual battlefield. It's not okay because I'm sanctified. It's not okay. I'm Christian. It's a blessing that I stay in a safe and good Christian environment. I have a good family. I have good friends that I pray with. I have good chapels. I have good professors. These are not enough. Apostle Paul was urging Timothy, not satisfied with what you have, but strive to fight in the battlefield. You seminarians, what is the message that God is telling you? Are you content with what you have? We are so much blessed with a nice facility, great professors. Sometimes we are struggled with dormitory situation, palm tree, and things that are not pleasant, but we have to contend with because it is a blessing from the Lord. Are you fighting with this severe battlefield, the spiritual battlefield that you and I are coming in? In John chapter 12, verses 15 to 17, John also said the same things. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has or does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. To conclude my message, I want to share a story that I happened to read in a church behind the story. In Korea, there is so famous elite church called Sarang Community Fellowship. It was founded 35 years ago by a pastor. Then it become, they're dedicating the most grandiose church building probably before 2014. It was well known as elite church, wealthy church. But in the church behind the story, I happened to read a lady called Crystal. Crystal was born in a very poor family. Not only poor family, he was born with ugly look. The story says he was born with so much in an ugly look and very small. Nobody looked at her. Her parents passed away when she was young, and she had to work in her very early age. She decided to get married because she really wanted to have a family. But she thought, because she didn't have any parents, so poor, ugly, she couldn't get a normal, ordinary man. So she decided to get married with crippled men. And she thought it was the way that she could only get a husband. to have a family, but soon after she got married, her mother-in-law began to curse her. "You are so ugly. You are not worthy of even becoming a wife of my crippled son. You are a shame in our family." Less than a year of her marriage, she was eventually kicked out from the family, and she decided to suicide. She drank poison, but she could not die. And she cursed her life. And only thing that she desired was to die and finish the life on earth. She came to Seoul and became a house helper of a wealthy family. But one day, she happened to listen to the radio while she was working. She listened to the word of the Lord, and she heard that Jesus loves you. And she testified that it is the first time that she heard somebody loves me. Is anybody on earth loving me? And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. She began to ponder upon the words loving. And she began to look for that broadcasting contents again and listened again and again. And in that program, the announcer said, "If you want to find more information, look for a church nearby." And that was the first time she heard about church. So she began to search for a church nearby, and she found the Sarang Community Church when it was just planted. It was a small, humble space. But she found Jesus Christ in that church. Her life turned away, oppositely, upside down. She praises the Lord. She thanks the Lord for her life, that Jesus Christ loves her. Although the pains that she had because of the poison, she couldn't eat much. She became very weak. But before she passed away, she visited a pastor, then asked, "Can I take just for a rest over here? Because I'm too tired." And she handed a letter to his pastor. The pastor allowed him to her stay in her house for 30 minutes and tried to wake her up for dinner. But she was fainting out. And the moment that the pastor was holding her, and that moment, God took her. Later, the pastor opened the letter and it says, "It was so blessing that I found Jesus in your ministry. Without you, I could not find Jesus, and my life would be so miserable. And this is my bank account that I collected in all my life. It was not much, but I want to give it to the church. And I'm so happy that I was able to give a little things compared to what God has given me in my life." The pastor wrote in his untold story, if she were died when she was working, she probably could have buried without anybody noticing. If she were dying on the way coming back home, probably the city would bury her without telling anybody because she did not have any family. But because she died in our home, we are able to give a funeral from the church. Then all of my members were sending her to Jesus. The youth that I'm praying for, she really wanted to see Jesus. Crystal, she really wanted to see Jesus. Regardless of hardship and difficulties in their life, the only one thing they wanted is to see Jesus Christ. And I'm reflecting on my life, where I've been living that kind of life. Am I content of what I have? Or not complaining of what I do not have? Am I fighting as the army of God in this spiritual battlefield? Am I one of the men in the movie that fight for the good fight of the faith? Shall we all stand? As Paul was urging his son Timothy, that you fight the good fight of the faith without spot, without blameless, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, or until we see Jesus Christ. As we sing the song, Change My Heart, it is our desire and our prayer that the Lord of our God change our mind and make us the army of His battlefield. May the Lord of our God, the Father and the Son Jesus Christ, and the communion of Holy Spirit be with us all forever and ever.